This is Brother Gino. Thank you for joining me today for the Pastor's Study. We're going to continue our study in Great Doctrines of the Bible. And we're going to look at the doctrine of justification in just a moment. But as always, before we begin our study, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this opportunity to come and be with thee today, to open up thy holy word that's been preserved in our King James Bible, Lord. We thank you for that blessing. And Father, I pray that we would grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I pray. I pray for the saints of God to be edified through thy word today. And Father, I pray if there's a lost soul listening this day that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day, the very hour, the very minute, the very second, that they would fall out with their sin and fall in love with the Savior, because to receive Him is to receive life eternal itself. And Father, if anything's accomplished today, it'll be because of you. And we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory for whatever you'll choose to do this very day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The great Bible doctrine of justification. Salvation is given men by God's grace when men repent and accept Christ's atonement by faith. Salvation then opens the door to many gracious and wonderful acts of God in behalf of the saved. Some of them are justification, adoption, sanctification, regeneration, imputation, reconciliation, propitiation, and redemption. My friend, there is nothing more wonderful than for a sinner to be justified with God. Notice what Job said in Job chapter 9 and verse number 2 with me. Job chapter 9 and verse number 2. I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? You see, Job spoke of the problem of the ages, the problem that has puzzled man ever since he became a sinner. You see, man realizes certain things. First of all, he has sense of God. He knows there is a supreme being, though he may not know him personally. All men worship some God. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 with me, look in verse number 19. Romans 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. So we see then, man has a sense of God. Amen. He knows he's a supreme being. Number two, he has a sense of sin. From experience, he knows that he has sinned. Again, Romans chapter 1 with me. Romans chapter number 1, we'll look at verses 20 to 21. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So we see, second of all, man has a sense of sin. From experience, he knows he has sinned. Number three, man realizes his conscience, or the conscience of man, tells him that by nature, he is always choosing wrong instead of right. Romans chapter 2 with me. Romans chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's actually look in verse 14 to get the context. For when the Gentiles which had not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which shew the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while excusing or else excusing one another. So we see then that by nature, amen, the conscience of man tells him by nature that he's always choosing wrong instead of right. Number four, therefore, as a result of these things, amen, that man has a sense of God, he has a sense of sin, his conscience tells him that he's always choosing the wrong instead of the right. As a result, man has a sense of guilt in relation to God. You see, he feels the need of being put upon a just and right relationship with God. Amen? Justified by faith is a weighty phrase, for we find it in Scripture and in history. It is the main theme of two New Testament books, Romans and Galatians. If a man has chosen nature for a god, he spends his time trying to pacify his God by good works to nature. This was the cry of the reformers of the 1500s. So what is justification? What is justification? Well, justification, it is the act of God, an act of a judge, and God being the judge, whereby those who put faith in Christ are declared righteous in his eyes and are free from guilt and punishment. Let's look at some scriptural answers to justification. First, we need to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. See? So it's not by works, amen, but he that but believeth on him, being the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on him, that justifieth the ungodly, the sinner. When he believes on Christ, it's counted or reckoned or imputed for righteousness. In Deuteronomy 25, verse 1, justification is described to declare or legally declare innocent or righteous. Amen. And then we see in Psalm 32, verse 2, it has to do with imputeth. In other words, an attribute, another's righteousness in place of a guilt that is there. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 32. And we'll look at that verse 2 together. Psalm 32, see what it says. Just to show you I'm not making this up, amen. Psalm 32, verse 2. Blessed, that word blessed can also mean happy, is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So justification is where God is not imputing your iniquity. Amen. But righteousness is imputed to you in place of guilt. Amen. Let's see what's involved in the definition of justification. Well, it's a change in man's relation or standing with God. Amen? It's a change in man's relation, amen, or standing with God. You see, man's nature, your nature and my nature, if you're saved, is changed at regeneration, when we were born again. Man's standing or relationship with God is changed in justification, which takes place the moment, the instant you're saved. Now, justification does not reform, renovate, renew the old man and make it to be holy, for the heart is not involved. The heart and nature of man is changed at regeneration. See? But justification places man in a new standing before God as one innocent and without guilt. So there's two elements then. Two elements to justification. First of all, sin is forgiven and guilt and punishment removed. Hallelujah. Let's look at some verses together. Let's turn to Acts chapter 13, first of all. In verses 38 and 39 of Acts chapter 13. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, talking about Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are what? Are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. See? The law could not justify you. Your belief, right? Your belief, believing on Christ, does. Look at in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 with me. And in Romans chapter 8, first we want to look at together verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, our sins are forgiven. We're no longer under condemnation because we're in Christ. We've been justified. Our guilt, our sins have been forgiven. Our guilt and punishment removed. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is God that justifieth? It is God that justifieth. You get that? It's God that justifieth. Amen. Not some dead Catholic saint or Mary or Joseph or anyone else. Amen. Buddha or Muhammad or any of those other false prophets. It's God. Amen. God, it is God that justifieth. And because of that, Paul writes in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Amen. Who's going to condemn you if God has justified you? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, these verses give you and I something to shout about, amen. So God sees the believer now as without sin and guilt, for God sees us in Christ. We said there's two elements involved here in justification. We just looked at, we saw that sin is forgiven, guilt and punishment removed. The second element is Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. In other words, we are restored. So Christ's righteousness is put on our account in replace of our sin, our guilt, our punishment. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. We read, "For he is God the Father, hath made him," the him is God the Son. What has he made God the Son? What has God the Father made God the Son? "To be sin for us, who knew no sin." And the reason he did that we, those who believe on Christ, might be made the righteousness of God in him. My goodness. That's a powerful verse, is it not? God the Father, it's beyond human comprehension. God the Father made his Son sin for you and I. The Son knew no sin. So what happened? All our sins are taken off of us and put on Christ, and in exchange, we get Christ's righteousness. My goodness. Christ got the short end of the bargain, didn't he? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. Looking in James, the book of James with me. You know, these are the things that should excite you and I. Not that our baseball team, a football team, wins a game or a championship. Amen. Because all that stuff is temporal. Amen. But the things we're talking about, these great Bible doctrines, are eternal. Amen. James chapter 2, in verse 23. James 2, verse 23. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So because he believed what God said, amen, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. You see, my dear friend, from the moment of conversion to the end of our earthly life, justification remains the same. So then, the two elements in justification: sin is forgiven, guilt and punishment removed. Christ's righteousness is imputed to us, to the saved. Now, you may ask the question, how can God justify the guilty? How can God justify the guilty? Well, first of all, by grace. By grace. Looking in Romans chapter 3 again. Romans chapter 3, verse number 24. "Being justified freely," how? by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So how can God justify the guilty? By grace, number one. Two, by the instrument of faith. Amen. For we are justified for faith. God does not give us justification because we have faith. You see, faith appropriates what grace provides. Thus, we are justified by faith. Look with me. In Romans chapter 5, in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified, how? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, how can God justify the guilty? By grace and by the instrument of faith. And then, well, then how are we justified? Amen. Well, first of all, it's not by works of the law. In other words, we can't be justified by doing good, obeying the law. Looking in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no, you get that? No flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, future obedience cannot attain for past sins. And no man can perfectly obey. What the law did, the law brought the knowledge of sin. It opened the sinner's eyes, but could not remove the guilt. You see, justification is possible because of the blood of Christ. Because of the blood of Christ. We just read in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by grace through the redemption. How are we redeemed? By the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, by his blood. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption, speaking about Jesus Christ. How? Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, the new modern funny Bibles take the blood out of there. Amen. In other words, they're teaching that you're not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ's blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Praise the Lord. Because we're justified by the blood of Christ, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we no longer have the wrath of God abiding on us. We'll no longer face the wrath of God. And then, of course, again, that great verse we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Talking about the blood, the shedding of Christ's blood, the crucifixion. Amen. So we see then, how then are we to be justified? Not by works of the law. But we're justified by the precious blood of Christ. The only grounds and basis that God can have to declare a guilty person as not guilty is for the guilt to be laid on another. So as we said, or I said, the Word of God says, Christ took our place, our guilt. And in place of that, our sin and our guilt, we have his righteousness. And what's the condition? By faith. By faith. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 4, 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, you see, believeth, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified, how? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In accepting God's method of justification, amen, in faith, accepting God's method of justification, believing on Christ, believing on his precious shed blood, is all men need to be saved by faith in Christ, whether they are so-called good or bad, then all men are justified in the same way, one common way, faith in the finished work of Christ. Can't get any more plainer than that. Amen. We see then how to be justified. It's not by works. Justification is possible because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and the condition is by faith. Quickly now, the results of justification: freedom from condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. You're no longer going to face the wrath of God. You're no longer going to end up in that lake of fire. Amen. Your guilt is removed. Punishment is set aside, for Christ took your place and my place. Amen. Another result of justification: peace with God. Peace with God. Romans 5:1. We've read this the third time now. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not the peace of God. Don't get it confused with the peace of God, which is, by the way, the daily experience of a believer's in trusting in God's way for our lives, knowing that his way is the best way always. But judicial peace, amen, peace with God is judicial peace, knowing that the guilt is not charged against us. So they'll confuse. We get peace with God as a result of justification, but we have the peace of God. All believers have the peace of God who walk with him daily and live like he wants us to live. Amen. And then finally, the assurance of future glory. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justification gives the believer the right and assurance that all the promises of eternal life are secure, and that nothing, absolutely nothing, can take them away. That concludes our study today on the great doctrine of the Bible, justification. Now, if you would like this study or any other study that's eared over the pastor's study, please drop me a line at the address that'll be given to you momentarily. Well, our time has run out here for the pastor's study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study today. Until we meet again on the pastor's study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.